on, God, we lift you up higher than anything. Come on, can we lift more worship to our God? God, you're great and mighty. Thank you. Can we give that God, great God, a great praise? Come on, let's shout out to God. Come on, let's lift up our voices. Come on, he's great. Come on, he's mighty. Amen. Isn't he great? Amen. Does anybody believe our God is great? Amen. We serve a great God. We serve a mighty God. We serve an awesome God. We serve a good God. Amen. Can we just praise him tonight? Can we lift up our voices again tonight? Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Our God is greater. Our God is worthy. Hallelujah, hallelujah. You are worthy, Jesus. Hallelujah. Come on, somebody lift up that name tonight. God, we come to praise you. Come on, anybody come to praise the Lord on a Wednesday night? Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Our God is greater. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Jesus. Amen, amen. He is a good God. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. It's a Wednesday night tonight, but it's good to see everybody here. Amen. God still can move here tonight. Amen. We can still have a pouring out of his spirit on a Wednesday night. Amen. You can be delivered tonight. Amen. You can be healed tonight. If you need the Holy Ghost, you can receive the Holy Ghost tonight. How many believe that? Come on, do you really believe it tonight? Do you really believe we can have a move of God tonight in this service? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. We have a few prayer requests we want to take before the Lord tonight. Amen. We have a need for Anna Guzman, special healing there in that situation, and also for Joshua Ladd. Amen. This is the grandson of brother and sister Ladd for healing. Amen. God is able. And also we want to keep our pastor and his wife and family in prayer. Amen. They're in a general conference at this time, and we just want to pray that God would keep his hand upon them as they make their way back after general conference. And also, we want to just keep our church in prayer. Amen. If you're here tonight and you have a need, you can lift your hand. God knows what it is. But I think it'd be good if we just bind together with one another. I mean, just bind together in faith and in prayer. And let's ask God to touch these needs that are here. And let's ask God to touch our pastor and his family. Let's ask God to touch our church. Amen. We want a move of God to take place. We want God to have his way. We want God to meet these needs. Amen. So I want to encourage us to lift up our voices as we pray. And let's take ownership tonight. And let's believe God that he's going to meet these needs. Amen. Lord, you see the needs that are here tonight. God, we're praying for Joshua Ladd and Anna Guzman during this time. God, that you would touch them. We're believing you for a healing. God, I pray that you would meet the needs of each and every one of us here in this place tonight. Continue to have your way, God. Continue to pour out your spirit tonight. God, we need you in this place. We want you to touch us, God. We're claiming victory, God. We're claiming healing tonight. In the name of Jesus, we're believing you for it. Can we clap our hands in faith tonight and thank the Lord? Hallelujah. That's it. Let's thank him for it tonight. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Jesus. Amen. Shake hands with one another as you're being seated tonight. Hallelujah. I know if you're looking around, it's Surge night tonight. Our young people are doing an awesome job with the music, and it's our also quarterly youth rally, so we have a good chunk of people out and helping with the youth rally and helping the Sunday school rally. Let me get myself correct. Sunday school rally, Harvest Kids rally. So we want to thank the Lord for what he's doing with our children. God's doing a great thing, I believe, and we're going to see great results come up out of our children. If we can have our ushers come at this time, we want to worship the Lord in our giving. Amen. We want to be a blessing to the kingdom of God. Amen. We want to be a blessing to the church. Amen. God's blessed us, so in return, we want to bless the kingdom. Amen. Amen. Brother Milton, if you can pray over this offering. Just in the way of our announcements, let's remember this coming Sunday is our Mission Emotion Refocus Vision Service. Amen. We're just excited to share some new details and just refresh what God is doing in our capital stewardship campaign. And just, we're an exciting time. Amen. We believe in God's going to continue to do awesome things and great things. Excited for the work in Nixa that's starting. Amen. We're looking to expand elsewhere. Just excited to see what the Lord is doing. And so let's come. Let's expect great things. Let's come and believe God that He's going to touch us in a special way on Sunday. And if you just remember our fall Harvest Kids party, if you can help us with candy, and wrapped individual candy, and bring it if you're willing to help us with that. There'll be a bucket in the back at the table, and just drop that off there. If we can continue to worship with our praise team, Brother Sean and the praise team, and let's just worship the Lord together. Amen. I think it'd be good if we stand. I know I just had you guys sit. But if we can stand, and let's just believe God for a touch. Let's just believe God that He's going to touch us in a special way tonight.
Jesus is name. The name of
at Jesus' name above all.
Praise the Lord. Brother Long, where y'all still can? Can we go back to Our God is Greater? Can we go back to that song? Pull the words up. I want to make one change. Brother Michael, can you bring that one back up? Instead of saying Our God, I want you to say My God. My God. So sometimes we get caught up in ours as a group, but it's about a relationship with Jesus Christ. So I want to sing that singing, My God is greater. My God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other God. My God is a healer, awesome in power. My God, my God. Can we sing it like that?
My God.
All right.
My God is greater. My God is stronger.
know who, what he is to you, but I can tell you, he's just an awesome God. I don't care what kind of situation you've been in, God's still there. We talk about healers. I don't know if you've ever been in a situation where you needed God to move right then and there. Oh, you can be seated. I'm just getting started. Because I just got one speed when you're living for God. That's all out. Because I don't know if you've ever been there. When the situation looked dim, it looked grim, and you didn't have any way out. I don't know if you've ever been there, but all you can say is just Jesus. All you holler is Jesus. You don't know what's going to happen, but all of a sudden, the situation begins to take a different look. You begin to feel different on the inside. You don't know what's going to happen, but you do know who's about to step onto the scene and take care of the situation. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. God's been good to us. God's been good to all of us. No matter what you've been through, understand, he's always there. He's always there. Brother Long, come and stand. We'll sing one more song. Just stand up. We're going to sing one more song. We're going back to an old song, song I like to sing. And I asked Brother Long if they wouldn't mind if they would play it. And we as a congregation, we're going to sing Amazing Grace. Because, oh, it's amazing grace. If you stop and think about it, just think about what the God has done for us, who loved us so much. And think about it, that God who loved us so much, who died on Calvary for us, he reminds us one day he's coming back. That's what gets us excited. He didn't just leave us here. He's coming back for us. Oh, hallelujah, he's coming back for us. Shall we sing it, Brother Long, Michelle, and Sean? Congregation, going to help.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved.
Amen. I was blind, but now I see. You may be seated. You may be seated. I have to give you a title. Michael, you got it? One. When I was years ago, when you were in school, I know they don't always do it anymore. You have to say the Pledge of Allegiance. Yeah, some of you, y'all don't have to say that anymore. Y'all don't know how, you know the words? Huh? Y'all know the words? I pledge allegiance. Remember, the most important thing is, and that whole thing, I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, one nation, under God, indivisible, by liberty, and justice for all. One nation under God. And let me tell you something. I don't care what society says. It hadn't changed. I don't care what the media tries you to get you to believe. I'm telling you, God is still God. God is still in charge. Understand something? I put that one up there because it's to me, it's significant. I'm going to get to the lesson. You realize it's one nation made up of 50 individual states. 50 individual states. When you look at that and you realize there are two important things to that map. Of those 50 states, do you realize none of those states look alike? Think about it. No two states look alike. Number two, each state has its own capital. It has its own capital. When we live for God, you have to understand, it's still one God. This is still one church that's made up, the Bible tells us, the body is made up of many members, okay? But they all come together to form one body. When I look at that, I say, you know what? We're all different individuals. I think about each capital as everybody has a heart. But understand something. It's important that we all understand we're still united together in the United States. We're still united together in the church with one purpose. That is to lift up the name of Jesus. I'm trying to tell you something. It is good. Psalms 133 and verse 1, the psalmist says, "Behold, it is good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity." To dwell together in unity. That doesn't mean we have to have everything perfect together. I got three sisters, and I can tell you, we didn't always see eye to eye. We didn't always agree upon anything. But I can tell you, at the end of the day, they still my three sisters. Understand something. When you grew up like that, what you understood about a family was something interesting. You could disagree with each other inside the house. But when you went outside the door, you always were united together against no matter whoever came against one of them. You were still family. I'm just trying to tell you how we looked at things. When you went outside the door, God still looks at things in that light. Otherwise, he would have said, it's good that brethren dwell together in unity. What is one? It's an interesting story begins to take place in the Bible. It's good to be one, but you have to be one with the correct focus. Let me tell you, Mother Micah, can you give me Genesis chapter 11? It's an interesting story that takes place. If you ever read the story, a building of the Tower of Babel. We talk about unity, but something interesting takes place. This is after the flood. Noah's left. They repopulate the earth. And something interesting happens in this story. It says, and the whole earth was of one language and of one speech. Understand something. Everybody spoke the same language and was all together. And it came to pass as they journeyed from the east, they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. And they said one to another, go to, let us make bricks and burn them thoroughly, and that they brick for stone and slime that they made for mortar. And they said, go to, let us build us a city and a tower whose top may reach into heaven. Let us make us a name, lest we be scattered abroad unto the face of the whole earth. They got the first part right. They were united together in unity. They had one language. They had one speech. They had one purpose. But that purpose was misdirected. They came together and decided that they were going to build them a tower. They said, let us go make us a city and a tower that may reach into heaven. Now, first of all, if you got any sense, you realize scientifically they were on the wrong approach. Okay? There was no way they were going to build a tower with bricks and mortar that was going to take them to heaven. I'm here today to tell you there's a whole group in society today that think they can live in a house of brick and mortar. It'll take them to heaven. Let me tell you something today, church. It's not about the brick and mortar of the sanctuary. That has nothing to do with it. It's about a relationship. When the church was created, you study it very carefully, they went from house to house. They didn't have a sanctuary. They didn't have what we call a modern-day church. But they did have something. They had Jesus Christ. But people get caught up in building bricks and mortar and making things big. It's nice to come together because everybody wouldn't fit in my house. My house is not quite that big. So understand something. It's nice to have a nice sanctuary, but don't get focused upon the sanctuary. Understand something. It's about Jesus Christ says he's come to seek and to save that which is lost. Understand what I'm saying? He gave us a purpose. So they decide we're going to build us a tower that may reach into heaven. The third problem they had was let us make us a name. Let us make us a name. The problem with that is that you have the wrong focus. Then it becomes all about you. Let me make me a name. Let me do something great so I can have my name up in lights. I can be in Hollywood. I can be up on Times Square. But Jesus Christ says it cannot be about you. It's about him. John the Baptist came and said what? He must increase and I must decrease. Understand, this discussion about individuals and us is not anything new. This has been around for a long time. Isaiah reminds us of that. Remember, Lucifer was in heaven. Then Lucifer decided he wanted to do something interesting. He came up with this thought in his heart that I will. Well, basically what he told God, I'm going to be in charge. When you start discussing your will with God's will, you got a problem. You got a problem. At that point, if I do that, I'm thinking I'm more important than I really am. Let me make this simple. We think as an individual we're awful important. But if God can use a donkey to speak, how important are we really? I'm being honest with you. When Jesus came into the city on what we consider Palm Sunday, and they were saying, Hosanna, Hosanna, he said, if they hold their peace, the rocks will cry out. Understand something. Somebody or something is going to worship God. Now, I don't know about you, but God's been awful good to me, and I don't want somebody else substituting for me being able to say, God, I love you. Lord, you've been awful good through me. And we didn't sing the second verse of Amazing Grace, but if you've been around any long length of time, you understand through many dangers, toils, and snares, he's already brought you. If you ain't old enough, you just hold on long enough. Because I'm going to tell you tonight, there are going to be some things come along that knock your socks off. One minute you think you got the world by your palms of your hand, and next thing you look up, the world on top of you, and you trying to figure out what just happened. Listen, you just hold on. When you're young, you don't think that's going to happen, but I've been around a little bit to tell you some things can happen to you. And the interesting part of it is you got no control. You got no control of what just took place. I tell people, you sit there, you get one phone call, and everything you just thought you had just fell apart. Understand something. Jesus says he would never forsake us. He would never leave us. We live in a world that wants you to believe you don't need God. You can do it on your own. I'm here today to tell you, you cannot get to heaven on your own. I don't care how much brick and mortar you got. You can start building, but you're not going to get to heaven. Okay, I hate to tell you that. If you ever want to go anywhere in the United States, just go to Pike Peak. Anybody been to Pike's Peak? Yo, you know what happened when you get to the top of Pike's Peak? You go. You're like, what happened to the oxygen? Who turned the oxygen off? Okay, and the sad thing about it is you still ain't got to heaven yet. If I'm short of breath at Pike's Peak, I know I can't go much higher. So how are you going to get to heaven, even if you thought how high it was? So you understand something. So if they're building something, they want to reach into heaven. They want to understand we want to make us a name. But they missed a point. They had the right thought, but the wrong purpose. Wrong purpose. It's not about this world. Everybody gets caught up in this world, the here in the now. It's really not about what you have in the here and now. It's about really what happens when you take your last breath. I'm being honest with you. So all of a sudden, they're together in unity. They have their wrong focus. Now they're trying to figure out, what am I going to do next? Understand something. We as the church must come together. We must lay aside our differences. We must focus upon one purpose. That's about advancing the kingdom. It's about advancing the kingdom. The kingdom. The kingdom. We have to become kingdom-minded. Understand something. Turn over. You've got your Bible. Turn to the book of Acts. Something begins to take place in the book of Acts. First of all, just stop off at John chapter 6. Jesus has an interesting challenge here in John chapter 6. Go to verse, let me get there real quick. I'll tell you which verse I want. Give me verse 65. Start at verse 65. He said, and he said, therefore said I unto you, that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Understand something in this discussion here. We know he had, some people think, several thousand disciples with him and several followers. A tiny bit of this story is, in your life, there's a difference between an acquaintance and a friend. Sometimes we get that confused, but there's a difference between an acquaintance and a friend. Understand something. In the church, there's a difference between acquaintance and friends. So all of a sudden, Jesus speaks to them. Now, it's going good. Remember in the beginning of the story, he feeds the 5,000. Everybody's happy. I got blessings coming left and right. I got fish. I got some bread. I'm happy because I was hungry. The Bible tells us he comes back and feeds 4,000 with 7 loaves. Understand something. Everything is going good as long as God's blessing us. Well, I tell everybody, when the sun is shining on my life, everything is going well. I'm jumping up and down. I'm happy. I'm living for God. But all of a sudden, Jesus looks around one day and says, guys, there's more to this than just meat and bread. More importantly, there's more to living for God than just the blessings. The question becomes, what will you do when the blessings don't come? What do you mean they don't come? They don't come the way you expect them to come. All of a sudden, sometimes we get mad. Well, that's not how I expected that to happen. Well, what did you expect to happen? Because we look around sometimes and we want it our way. But understand something. In everybody's life, the rain's got to fall. The Bible says it rains on the just and the unjust. I tell people in real life, in nature's term, all sun and no rain makes a desert. It makes a desert. If you lived in Springfield back in the summertime, go look at your front yard when no rain fell. My grass turned brown. It was like snack, crack, a pop. I walked on it. Man, I'm trying to figure out, it isn't supposed to be green. But it's amazing what happened when no rain falls. Understand something. If the sun shined all the time also, not only would you have a desert, but you also wouldn't appreciate the sun after a while. After a while, you would take it for granted. But it's nice that it rained some. Understand something. You go to the top of the mountain. You go to Pikes Peak. You take the cartwheel train up. It's nice to take the train up instead of driving up the road. So you're coming up the cartwheel. You're watching. You see the trees. You see the trees. You see the trees. You finally get to a point where there are no trees. Because all of a sudden you're at a point where there's really nothing green at the top. There's no trees really at the top of it. Understand something. Things grow in the valley. But I don't want to go to the valley. I want to stay on top of the mountain. When you look at people who climb Everest, how long do you think they stay at the top? What's the average time they stay at the top? Anybody know? People think they stay there for days and weeks. The majority of them stay less than 5 minutes. They summit, they start back down. Now, they don't spend a lifetime preparing to do one thing. And yet, when they get to the top of the mountain, they only stay 5 minutes. Now, that don't make any sense to me. You don't spend all this time of your life, you don't risk your life to get to the top that you stay for 5 minutes. If I'm going to risk my life, I'm going to risk it for something that I can spend eternity enjoying. I don't know about you, but I'm looking for something that all of eternity. I don't know how long eternity is, but I know it's longer than the time we have on this earth. I know that much about it. So all of a sudden, Jesus looked at his disciples and said, guys, there's more to this story. And from that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. It didn't say a few of them went back. It says many. Many turned and went away. What does he do? He then said Jesus unto the 12, will ye also go away? Now you think he got 12 of them and one of them the devil. He did. It really is. He got 12 left. Judas ain't died yet. He's still among them. So he says, listen, will ye also go away? Then Simon Peter answered him, says, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. Peter wasn't the smartest guy. He was a fisherman. He fished. But he understood one thing, that Jesus Christ was the way, the truth, and the life. That's what he looked at. He said, listen, they can go wherever they're going to go, Lord, but whom shall we go? Give me that, Matt, can you give me that verse? There's a word in that whole verse that's important. Whom? Not where, not what, but whom shall we go? Whom shall we go? There's a lot of things in the world right now trying to tell you you can get to heaven any other way. Let me tell you something. If you don't go through Jesus Christ, you're not getting to heaven. He said, if you come any other way, you're a thief. I don't care what they're out there worshiping. Okay, let me be honest with you. You can go worship Buddha. You can go grab one of them tree and be a tree hugger. Okay, you can go grab that tree all you want to. You can go talk to that tree all you want to. Okay? But I can tell you a little secret. That tree ain't going to save you. First of all, you can get under that tree, but when the wintertime comes, most leaves are going to fall off that tree. The second thing you have to understand about trees, even when you look at them out there, God sends enough wind, that tree going to fall over. But understand what I'm trying to tell you. You're going to have to make your mind up who you're going to serve. The Bible says no man can serve two masters. You will love the one and you will hate the other. The world wants you to love the world and the things of the world. But he says in James, love not the world nor the things of the world. Why? Because they pass away. One day what's in style is out of style tomorrow. Okay? What color you like today, tomorrow is not a color. You go down today and get you a new car, guess what? You can get a 2018. Tomorrow be the 2019s. Your car be old. And you still making payments. I'm just being honest about it. People want to go down and get a car and spend all gazillions of dollars for a car. But I always say, I didn't get carried away now about cars. But I ask them all the time. I say, okay, you're going to go buy that car, spend all that money. Now, you got to have something to ride in because we can't walk everywhere we go anymore because we don't live that close together. But think about it. You go down and spend all the money for a car. I tell people, let me make it simple. Think about it. We got adults in here. I tell you, dogs pee on it. Cats walk on it. Birds poop on it. But you're going to spend all your money on it. That really makes sense to me. What else would you get in your house and let that happen to? But you spend all your money on it. And I know that happens sometimes. Sometimes people run into it in the parking lot and just drive off. I don't know if you're an adult, you ever had that happen. But you come out. Let me tell you, I had that happen. I was in medical school. I came out one day, looked at my little car, and the trunk was up. So I thought I left the trunk up. Until I walked around and looked at the rear quarter panel. The trunk was popped up for a reason. You know what? Typically what I did, and we had a car entry to the parking garage. Every day I went out there looking for a car that I thought could hit my car. Every day I went to that parking lot trying to figure out if somebody bumper. I'm going to find somebody bumper that matched my paint. Because I'm going to get that person. I'm not sure what I would have done when I found him. But you know what? I didn't find him. You know what that was all about? That was just misplaced. It wouldn't change one thing. Because a car is a car. There's nothing in this world that you have is permanent. The Bible says, what do you have that God didn't give you? Understand, sir. So now we're talking about the church. As I said, sing Amazing Grace, so we can always remind ourselves, if it wasn't for God's love for us, for his grace, his mercy, we would be just as lost could be. We really would be. He tells us, judge not that we be not judged. Condemn not that you be condemned not. Forgive and we shall be forgiven. Why does he say that? Because sometime in church, I'm going to offend somebody. Somebody's going to offend me. But I can't walk around carrying a grudge with me. You can't carry a grudge. My prime example from Louisiana is simple. I'm going to give you my Louisiana example. You out in a boat. You and your friends out in a boat. You can get in an argument all you want to. But let me tell you something. If you sink that boat, simple. That alligator cares less who sunk that boat. I tell them all the time we're having an argument. The alligator don't care who sank the boat. You in the water, y'all both got a problem. Because first the alligator going to reach the first one he gets to. You can argue all you want to. So understand something when you're living for God and you're in the church. The devil will use whatever the devil can use to do what he wants to do. So all of a sudden we find ourselves understanding that it is about living for God as one unit. Let me tell you something. I wrote this down the other night. Harvest Ministries will be what we make it to be. Its rise or fall will be determined by us. Not by the bishop, nor by the pastor. Yes, I wrote it. Let me tell you something. It's the members that's going to determine how harvest is going to go. Let me be honest with you. Let me tell you the truth. You watch anything take place, but I tell everybody, you watch sports. The manager does not play the game. It's the players that play the game. Understand something. The manager can give us the play. The pastor and the bishop can bring us the mission and tell us what to do. But it's our job to execute what needs to be done for the kingdom. So understand something. Let me prove I come to a close. Jesus tells the disciples to go to Jerusalem and tarry till you be endued with power from on high. Understand something. He tells them to go. They don't totally understand what's going to happen. Jesus had been nailed to the cross. He told us to go there and wait. The Bible tells us that we were beginning. One time he had 3,000. He fed 3,000. He fed 4,000. So there are a lot of disciples. Or better yet, I call them acquaintances. Acquaintances. But all of a sudden we get to Acts chapter 2, and it says, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. They were all with one accord. But understand something. There were not thousands in the room. Acts chapter 1, verse 15 said, and in those days, Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples and said, the number of names together were about 120. Where did the rest of them go? Where did they go? Listen, if you don't want to live for God, you can find a reason not to. Listen, anytime you want to find a reason, say, I quit. I don't want to do it. But all of a sudden, there's only 120 in the upper room. But it's interesting, they're all in the upper room. But they were all with one accord. They weren't all scattered out doing their own thing. They were all had come together with one unit, with one purpose. And understand something. Once they understood that they came together, something interesting happened. Verse 2, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. All of a sudden, they've been there, they've come together, they put aside their differences, they put aside whatever they had and says, it is only one thing we're after. We're going to seek after God. And all of a sudden, the reward is the Holy Ghost come. And guess what it says? And it appeared upon cloven tongues like as a fire, and it set upon each of them. And they were all filled. Now listen, all, A-L-L. Let me tell you something. When it comes together like that, all together as one, everybody benefits. Everybody benefited. Now, interesting what it said. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. It's interesting here about unity. Go back and remember in Genesis when it was misdirected, unity. They all had one language. But all of a sudden, they misused the purpose by saying, we're going to make us a name. Now, God, the punishment there was all of a sudden they went down in Babel, and all of a sudden they heard a different language. They could not communicate with each other anymore. But all of a sudden now they're all together in one place. The Holy Ghost falls. But guess what happens now? Each man heard them speak in their own language. See, I can tell you, when God wants to do something, the devil can't stop it. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. The devil can't stop God from doing what God wants to do. I'm telling you tonight. So all of a sudden, they get filled with the Holy Ghost. But here is the most interesting part of a story. Now, Peter, I don't know why they picked Peter. I'm still trying to figure out why he picked Peter. Why he didn't pick Matthew as a tax collector? He got more education. He's a tax collector. Peter, he's just a fisherman over there. Well, he picked John. The Bible said John loved him. He loved John more. But why Peter? It's interesting how God picks the least person you expect. Because you know why? When God does that, that person know they didn't do it on their own. They didn't do it on his own. But it's interesting what takes place. The Bible tells us that Peter goes out. And Peter stands up. Now here. Now a short time ago, Peter denied God. He denied Jesus three times. But all of a sudden, now something happens. What happened was the Holy Ghost falls. And all of a sudden that day, how many were added to the church? 3,000. 3,000. That's important. Now, what would you think if you were one of those people who was in the church but decided on that day that when the Holy Ghost was going to fall, you weren't going to be there? Okay? So 120. But let me explain why that's important. The Bible says God added to the church 3,000. It didn't say those people who were there and left ever had a chance to come back. It doesn't say anywhere in that scripture they had a chance to come back. He added to the church. Let me tell you what that means. God gonna have a church. Let me set this up. God gonna have a church. Those people that did what now, the thousands that some say weren't there on the day of Pentecost, they missed their opportunity to be there when the Holy Ghost fell. There are going to be a lot of folks when the rapture takes place who was in the church, going to be out of the church, and when the church gets called away, they're going to be left behind. Let me tell you something. I don't care what happens in the church, but I can tell you to stay in the church. I can tell you, Louisiana terms, you stay in the boat. Let me tell you, I'm telling you to stay in the boat. Because I'm going to tell you, in Louisiana, when you're fishing sometime, you pass under one of them little moss trees. I don't know if you ever seen a moss tree. And occasionally you'll be doing that and a snake fall in the boat. See, everybody got quiet because they're thinking about that. A snake will fall in the boat. Okay? Remember, okay, you find a cottonmouth snake. You know, they always say, a cottonmouth can't bite you. If it's in the water, it'll bite you. Okay? But the snake falls into the boat. Your first instinct is to jump out of the boat. I'm being honest, because that's one of the things you have to learn. Your first instinct is, I'm jumping out of the boat. Because the snake in the boat. But you have to also remember, what's in the water is worse than the snake in the boat. So you have to resist the tendency to want to jump out of the boat. What does that mean tonight as I come to a close? Sometimes some things are going to happen in the church, and the first step is, I want to jump out of the boat. But I'm telling you today, you need to stay in the boat. It's better to deal with the snake in the boat than the alligator in the water. Well, I don't know whether you've seen an alligator, but I can tell you one thing. I can't beat him up. I can't outswim him. I don't have the same set of teeth he has. Listen, I can tell you, you see one of them in the water, he got your attention. But you got to deal with the things that you have to deal with. Stay in the boat. Can you stand as we come to a close? The Bible reminds us in the last days, everything that can be shaken will be shaken. We don't like to hear that. We don't like that. We don't like everything to be shaken. Understand, earth, if you want to describe earth as one term, I call it a proving ground. Ever how long you're on the earth, it's a proving ground. God's going to find out who's really committed, who's really in this for the long haul. I try and relate some of this stuff to when I was coming along, when we were in undergrad, we used to call them, you always have what we call the pretenders and the contenders. Pretenders and contenders. What do we mean by that? That you start out with a bunch of people who say, I want to major in pre-med. But along the way, what we realized along the way when we were doing that, the pretenders and contenders begin to get separated. Okay? You know what separates them? The test separates them. The test separates them. Those people who are committed stay committed through the test. All of a sudden, you used to run across somebody who was in pre-med. They say, oh, I changed my mind. Did they change their mind, or did the test change their mind? Understand what I'm trying to tell somebody today. As we live for God, there are going to be some tests. There are going to be some tests. You're never going to be able to say through it all until you get to the end. The contenders understand that the test is just a test. I've got to stay focused on what the real mission is. But the contenders understood that. The pretenders would soon drop by the wayside. And in every day we came along, we tell everybody at ultimate the sophomore year, organic chemistry was going to make or break you. We understood that. That was the ultimate test. When you're living for God, there are a bunch of tests that's going to come along. But ultimately in everybody's life, there's going to come one major test. I call it one major test. I don't care how long you live for God. It's going to become one major test. You're going to call it the do or die. Other people call it sink or swim. But it's going to determine what direction you go by what decision you make when you get to that crossroads. That T in the road is going to go either left or right. The decision will be yours, what you do with it, when you come to the T in the road. I want you to understand today, one day, it's going to be worth it all. One day, if you can hold on, the Bible says that to he that endureth until the end, to the end, he's going to give you a new name. He's going to give you a stone with a new name. Think about that. If you can't get excited when he says, I'm going to give you a stone with a new name, if you just hold on, you just hold on. When you think you can't go any further, you just say, I'm going to hold on just a little bit longer. Years ago, I think about Brother Milton because I still have it. I'm going to bring it back. Brother Milton taught a lesson years ago. He may not remember. I don't know where he is, but he taught a message. He gave us a towel when we were over on Prospect. He taught a lesson on, before you throw in the towel, go back and pray one more time. Every time I think about some things going on, I always remember that lesson and that towel. Before you throw in the towel, but you think I'm throwing a towel, I ask you to go back and pray one more time. Just one time. Just one. It's just one. That's all I'm asking of you. Just one time. Shall we pray as we close? Oh, precious Heavenly Father, you're just an awesome God, oh Heavenly Father. Father, when we look back over our lives, Father, we realize through many dangers, toils you've already brought us, Father. Father, even when we stop and pause just for the day, when we think about the blessings you have bestowed upon us, oh Heavenly Father. Father, we don't understand how or why or when some of the things take place, Father. But Father, we understand something. You called us to walk by faith and not by sight, oh Heavenly Father. We come trusting in you, oh Lord. We ask you to take us together, Father. Bind us together, Father. Let us be as one accord, Father. Father, as we come together for these last days, Father, let us pour out our hearts to you, Father. Let us lay aside everything, Father, that stands between us and our brothers and sisters, Father. Let us focus upon you, O Heavenly Father. Let us stay committed to you and to your purpose, Father, that you get glory out of our lives, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen and amen. Thank you, Jesus. You're dismissed in the name of the Lord.